Quasi-Cerebral Talk and Tunes. This is Typically Tuesdays on CJSF 90.1 FM. Here's what we've got cooking up this hour. Tuned in to Typically Tuesdays on CJSF 90.1 FM, the campus community radio station at Simon Fraser University on Burnaby Mountain. We broadcast on unceded territories of the Hinkaminam-speaking peoples and the Squamish-speaking peoples. And this episode of Typically Tuesdays was produced on unceded Hinkaminam-speaking peoples territory and Halkomelem-speaking people's territory. At Typically Tuesdays, we recognize the host nations as the original storytellers and knowledge keepers of these lands, and we thank them for their stewardship. I'm Leslie. You just heard Red Sea Disco by Tutard. We ended the show last week with that song, and I wasn't able to finish playing all of it because time ran out. So what a great way to start off today's episode. It is yet another Office Hours show where it's basically mostly music. But today is Office Hours Plus because I have some fleeting thoughts that I just need to air out to someone really. And it's not therapy week. Like usually I have therapy every couple of weeks. It's not therapy week this week, so I need to air this out to someone. And what a better way to do it than on public radio. Before we start with the thoughts though, here is more music on this Office Hours playlist, in which I'm just sharing songs that I've been listening to throughout the week because I've been working a lot and I haven't really had time to create an actual radio show. So it's a mishmash of music. Here is a classic by Anna Monoguchi. Her name is Miku. Miku, That was Ibna Min Gideen by Al Masri'in. And before that, you heard Jello by New Age Dolls. My name is Leslie, and you are tuned in to Typically Tuesdays on CJSF 90.1 FM. You ever feel sentimental about nature? I do. I do all the time, actually. I think probably that started around-ish, maybe around the time I started bird watching. And bird watching just gave me the opportunity to take things slowly in life and to feel in a somatic way like I am grounding myself, I'm regrounding myself. And it's been really helpful to be in nature and to like do bird watching and stuff whenever, especially I'm having a really tough time, or I just have been trapped in the hustle and bustle of capitalism and needing to do things and life, and I haven't had the opportunity to actually take care of myself and look around my surroundings and things like that. And so when I see, you know, other people who are kind of like actively trying to exploit the land and like make the world, the natural landscapes, inhabitable for life, it really, you know, it really does a number on my system and my mental health. And I've been thinking about this particularly because you may have seen on the internet there are some people who have been using AI generation systems such as ChatGPT to create images that are of the style of Studio Ghibli films, particularly the character design styles of Hayao Miyazaki. And it's upsetting for a number of reasons, because Miyazaki himself, one of the reasons is because Miyazaki himself, similar to me, has been a big fan of nature. He is a huge advocate for like protecting the environment and sustainability. Many of his works that were published by Studio Ghibli, including the works of his colleagues at Studio Ghibli, such as Isao Takahata, their works have been about living with nature, about being connected to the land, and many times a large driver of conflict in some of those stories, such as Pompoko or Princess Mononoke, they are about the strife and chaos that is caused by humans who destroy the land, and the way that the living things on in nature kind of become displaced. In Pompoko, that's the community of Tanuki. In works such as Princess Mononoke, it is about the spirits. It's like, one, it's really uncomfortable to see a person like Miyazaki's work being used in these horrible AI generation machines. The work is getting stolen, and the environmental impact that AI and ChatGPT have are really, really devastating. Like, gallons and gallons of water are used to power these machines. Huge swaths of land are cut down in order to build these systems, these actual like computer systems that allow for these images to be created, allow for even other creative works, or not creative works, but other media to be created, and in an incredibly unartistic way. But there are a lot of other reasons why it can be quite upsetting. I know that's a lot to load onto you today, and I promise, like, mostly just like music. So we're gonna listen to some more music while I stew on some more thoughts and I expose more of my vulnerabilities to you again. Office hours today is really about missing my therapist. Anyways, here is a new release from a band who I have just been put on my radar. They're called Koolfy Girls, and I believe they're from the States. This next track coming up is called Divinity, off of their, I believe, debut EP called Divinity. It is of the same name. But first, speaking of birds and speaking of nature, here is a bird note. Enjoy.
This is Bird Note. The world is full of poisonous creatures. Some butterflies, beetles, and frogs use bright colors to warn birds and other predators that they're full of toxins. But you might be surprised to learn that some birds are poisonous too. The hooded pitahui is a bird that lives in New Guinea and eats a toxic beetle. The pitahuis aren't sensitive to the beetle's toxin, so they can accumulate large amounts of it in their skin and feathers. Scientists examined the chemicals from pitahui feathers and identified the same type of toxin found in poisoned dart frogs. Like the birds, the frogs may also gain their chemical defenses from eating insects. But pitahuis aren't the only birds that pack a toxic punch. When ruffed grouse eat a plant called mountain laurel, they pick up a poisonous compound that can make them an unappetizing meal for a fox or a human hunter. And quail in the eastern hemisphere sometimes snack on hemlock, turning them into a very upsetting dinner item. Many predators like to eat birds, making the world a pretty dangerous place for them. But evolution has made some birds a little dangerous, too. For Bird Note, I'm Michael Stein.
has gone home.
Chance with Anse. Before that, you heard Goldie Boutillier with King of Possibilities. This is Typically Tuesdays, and I'm Leslie here on 90.1 FM, CJSF. AI-generated images. I think I've talked about this issue a few times before on the program and my gripes with it and how I really wish it were not a thing. If you are a regular listener of Typically Tuesdays, if you are just a listener in general of Typically Tuesdays, or you just stumbled upon the show, I ask of you, I beg of you, please, if you want an image of your likelihood, if you want just like a cool little picture, please commission an actual artist or photographer. Do not use AI to generate those images. As mentioned earlier on the show, they cause the usage of AI causes a devastating amount of environmental damage, and you know, we are in a time in the world right now where there are more climate crises happening more than ever before. Millions of people are being displaced because of climate crises all over the world, and millions of lives are being devastated, because of climate disasters. But also, one of the things, of course, that pisses me off about AI-generated quote-unquote art is the fact that there's no humanness behind it, right? I was talking earlier about Hayao Miyazaki and how people are using AI to generate images in the style of his movies. Miyazaki very famously hates AI. He calls it disgusting. He thinks that like the usage of AI essentially marks the downfall of humanity. And he's not wrong, in my opinion, right? One of the most incredible things that we can do as beings is to imagine. And if we have the skills to do it, we can create. If we don't have the skills, if we don't have the ability to create, then what a lot of the times we can do is try to learn how to pick up those skills and how to gain those abilities. AI-generated stuff is lazy. It's not interesting. I have to disclose that I have read like writing, essentially, where people used AI, like ChatGPT, to like generate some kind of argument. It's boring. It's not interesting. It just sucks all of the life and fun out of being a person. And it's also so devastating because, you know, creatives are already not well compensated for their work. Think about if you were Miyazaki, for example, right? Miyazaki's not a billionaire. Like, he's probably wealthier than you or I, but he is not like a millionaire or anything like that. He's just an old man who like legitimately came up from like animation studios, being a union leader, and spent decades honing his craft. And then to have people commercialize his work in such a soul-sucking, mind-numbing way, like, it's sad. And I saw this really funny post. Funny because I think it's true. I think it went something like, AI-generated Miyazaki images are probably actually going to be the death of Miyazaki. Bro, good point. This is a man who has advocated his entire life for, you know, not only the environment, but also like on workers, particularly art workers in arts, getting well compensated. And here he is seeing the work of his peers and himself getting stolen and essentially making billionaires like Sam Altman, is that his name? The guy who is behind ChatGPT, making him wealthier, richer than basically all people, except for maybe Elon Musk. It's disgusting. Listen, if you are a longtime listener of Typically Tuesdays, you might have heard before that I am actually not like the biggest fan of Miyazaki movies, of Studio Ghibli movies. Personally, I lean a little bit more biased towards Isao Takahata's work. But if you're a longtime listener of Typically Tuesdays as well, you'll understand and you'll respect what I'm saying. And I do implore you to take this to heart. Please do not ever use AI to generate stuff that you could try to make on your own, or try to get somebody else to commission, or you can try to commission somebody else to make. I promise you, it is more fulfilling, more interesting, and deeply, greatly, way more appreciated by most people if you actually respect and care about artists by compensating them, respecting the work, and not stealing their images using AI. I'm just saying. We're going to listen to some more music. Here is some stuff by Callie's Way. We're actually going to be listening to a little bit more Callie's Way after this as well, but this is stuff from her. This is Baby Girl off of her album that she released last year called A Kid from Toronto. This is really fun. Better than thinking about the devastating impacts of AI on humanity and also the environment. And I hope you enjoy.
Finger made a set. My head turned to bubbles. I had to think. I tried to be
This is Bird Note. As twilight deepens along a dry desert stream bed, a tiny owl peers out from a hole in a sycamore tree. It's an elf owl, the smallest species of owl in the world. Standing less than 6 inches tall, with gray feathers and big yellow eyes, the elf owl weighs less than an ounce and a half. A bit less than a golf ball. And they're determined predators. Flying out from its tree cavity at dusk, the elf owl hunts beetles, crickets, and spiders, plus the odd lizard or mouse. Larger prey, such as scorpions, with the stingers carefully removed, may end up cached in the nest for later dining. Elf owls live in woodlands and desert cactus habitats in northwest Mexico, and along the border of the southwest U.S. They often nest in woodpecker holes in tall saguaro cactus. They depart their breeding range by October to central and southern Mexico, where insects are more available in winter. But spring comes early to the desert, and the minuscule owls return by late February or March, ready to begin their breeding season. For Bird Note, I'm Michael Stein.
Thank you.
return on Typically Tuesdays. That was Drusilla by the Garys, and before that you heard Callie Sway with An Again and Again off of her latest EP. She legitimately just dropped it like this weekend. It's called Take Me Back, World of Eras. I hope you enjoyed that, and I hope you enjoyed today's episode of the show. I know the music, I think, was pretty banger, but I think, like, some of the talk portions of it was kind of, like, kind of sad. I'm sorry, I couldn't help it. You know, I've just been pretty devastated by just the reality of AI in general, but to see how people really ignorantly use it to create images that are supposedly similar to the beloved artworks, like the characters in Miyazaki films, has just really rocked my system. It's been pretty devastating. I think a lot of people have a lot of ignorance around AI and its horrific environmental impacts, but at the same time, I think a lot of people are really ignorant and oftentimes quite willingly ignorant about the ethics around art and ownership and creation. You know, there's this idea, right? There's often this idea that, like, people will exploit the land, exploit, you know, nature for their own gain. And to see that people will also attempt to exploit nature and exploit something that is so man-made, such as art, it's really crappy, you know, to these people, especially their overlords, aka billionaires. You know, nothing is sacred. Any vision of life, anything that has spirit within it, they laugh in the face of that. There is no life in this world that they hold dear. And these very wealthy and powerful people and their minions, as in the people who have bought into it, bought into their cult of personality and whatnot, they're much more willing to live in a world that's soulless and void of levity and laughter and joy and life, than to exist in it. And it's horrifying. It's dystopian. The only thing that I can wish for you as we wrap up the show today is that you have people in your life who are more than willing to celebrate life and to lean into every single nook and cranny that might be complicated or weird or messy, but ultimately beautiful and joyful with you. And that includes nature, and that includes art. I'm going to be going to the Wild Bird Trust of BC in a few days, and there may be a high chance that I'll have a small mental breakdown there, because I'll be surrounded by the beautiful nature and the beautiful birds. Wish me luck. Also wish my friends luck who will go with me, because they will indeed be embarrassed. Anyways, that's all I can say, I guess, about this episode of Typically Tuesdays. Please let me not embarrass myself. Well, let me not embarrass my friends at the Wild Bird Trust of BC. But with that said, I guess we're wrapping up the episode today. I'm going to share with you one final song that I've been really enjoying. This is Teke Teke with a track called Jinzo Maria. I believe that means Monk Maria. Maybe. I've been Leslie here on Typically Tuesdays on CJSF 90.1 FM. And here's that final track. I'll talk to you very soon. Kakeru
赤い水玉浮き上がる。ゆっくりと床に。